The book of Luke, chapter number 1, and look at verse number 26. Luke chapter 1, verse number 26, and I'll want to share with you about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke chapter number 1, verse number 26, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Look down in verse number 39 for time's sake. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence it was this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Let's go to the Lord in the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning, God, for allowing us to be here. Lord, we thank you for our mothers. And Lord, I thank you for my mother. Lord, what a blessing to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, I stand here today because of many prayers from a godly mother. And I thank you for that. I pray, God, that you'd help us give the people something that, Lord, we could take home with them and feed upon the rest of the week. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Here, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, I want to point out that we don't worship Mary. We don't worship Mary. We don't pray to Mary. Contrary to what some may tell you, if you want to get to Jesus, you got to go through his mother. That's not correct at all. We have one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ, Jesus. You don't have to pray to Mary. You can go straight to the main source and pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't worship Mary, and we do not pray to Mary, but the Bible says she is blessed among women. And the verse number 27 says that Mary and Joseph were espoused to one another, and that is very similar to our engagement, what we would say, you're engaged. And so Mary and Joseph were engaged, which means they did not share the marriage bed. Mary and Joseph did not know one another in the marriage bed, and that's why Jesus was virgin born. And so Mary has an appearance for this angel and says, Mary, you're with child. And she says, how in the world could this be? And Joseph, while the angel is appearing to Mary, there's another angel appearing to Joseph and saying that the child that is in her is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph probably knew that the Messiah was coming. If he read the Old Testament, he knew the Messiah was coming. He knew that the Lord was coming one day, but he did not realize, and he did not know that God would choose his future wife to be the carrier of the Creator of the universe. While God's working on one end, he's working on the other end as well. And over in verse number 30 it says, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And then you go down to verse 35 and it says, And the angel answered, said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. That word overshadow is the same word where we get our word breathed on. It happened in Genesis chapter number 1, in verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." The Spirit of God moved. Same word overshadowed, the same word that spoke this world into existence is the same word that 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." So that means, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible that you hold in your hand, if you have a good one, if you got a good one, the Bible, hey, God breathed upon that book. God breathed, spoke this world into existence. Well, if that's true, the same voice, the same breath of God that spoke this world into existence is the same voice that spoke that Bible that you have in your lap of existence, is the same voice that spoke and overshadowed Mary and planted the seed of the Word of God into her womb without knowing a man. You say, "Preacher, that's an impossibility." No, with God, nothing is impossible. You think about the first man that was ever created. God formed man, the dust of the ground, breathed his nostril, breath of life. Man became a living soul. God created a man without a woman or a man involved. And then he created a woman from a man without a woman involved. And now he creates the Son of God, if you will, or God comes down to this earth through the virgin womb without a man involved. So with God, all things are possible. The breath of God, the same voice that spoke this world in existence, the same voice that spoke that Bible into your lap, is the same voice that overshadowed Mary. I love it. This is one of my favorite parts of the whole Mary Elizabeth. Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. Elizabeth with John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Elizabeth was John the Baptist's mama. She was pregnant 6 months more than Mary. So Mary's out to here. Elizabeth's out to here. You understand? And so Mary goes over to cousin Elizabeth's house because they're going to go shopping. And Mary walks into the kitchen of Elizabeth, and their bellies are so close to one another that when the Lord Jesus Christ in Mary's belly touched Elizabeth with John the Baptist in there, the Bible says John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. Now what that means in the Greek is he shut up her esophagus, grabbed her goozle, and said, "Woo! Glory! Hallelujah!" And there was something to it. Now, some of you wonder, is that in the Bible? It's in the white part. You have to read between the lines to get a lot of stuff out of there. But John the Baptist leaped into his mother's womb and said, "Hey, this is him that we've been waiting on since the Old Testament." I don't know what Mary felt. I have no idea what Mary felt. When God, listen folks, get it in your mind, the creator of the universe, the very one that created his own mother, is now giving birth to the creator of the whole universe. Now let that sit in your lap for a minute. Because now Jesus Christ, the one that spoke this, you say, Jesus, God, I thought God created. Now listen, Jesus is God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. So I don't know what Mary felt, but I do know what I felt when God moved in. And you ought to know what it felt like when God moved in. And let me just say this, if God moved inside of you and He don't stick out somewhere, there's a problem somewhere. Because if you say, "I'm saved, I'm going my way to heaven," something as big as God that moves inside of you, He ought to stick out somewhere. And so this is what's going on. And Mary has the Creator in her belly, the peace speaker in her belly, the one that healed blind Bartimaeus. She has Him growing in her womb. And the Bible says, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now, you may have heard this a little different from other sources, and they say, well, Mary didn't have to be saved. Hey, my friend, that Bible says right there, God, Jesus, was her Savior. So Mary doesn't get a free ticket to heaven because she gave birth to Jesus Christ. Oh, no. She had to be saved just like everybody else. Because why? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now it's tax time. Tax time, everybody's going into their own city. Micah 5:2 says Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem. Well, Mary and Joseph are not in Bethlehem. But God has this tax time. See, God orchestrated this thing to where He said it's tax time. So everybody has to go to their hometown to pay their taxes. So they have to go to Bethlehem where Jesus is going to be born. They go, it's tax time. The whole city is busy. So they're going around. And listen, I don't know about y'all. And they didn't have cars. They didn't have Cadillacs or Lincolns. But to put a 9-month pregnant woman on the back of a donkey and travel to another city, hey, that's a brave man. Hear it. Now, this ain't in the Bible either, but it's in the middle. You gonna hit every pothole out here? Why don't you just hit all of them? Oh, I think you missed one. Some of you henpecked men afraid to raise your hand, hallelujah. Eddie, get your hand up. No. And you say, and they're on their way. And Mary's like, Joseph, you're going to have to hurry up. I mean, it's we're getting close. Joseph's like, I understand. We'll find a motel somewhere. They go around. We'll have you a room. We'll have you a room. We'll have you a room. Sir, I'm sorry. I mean, you should have come last week. I mean, everybody's here in town. There's no room anywhere. Mary's like, Joseph, look, I'm telling you, I don't care if it's room or not. We fix to have his baby on the back of his donkey. She starts beating up with sweat, and I'm telling you, Joseph's next house he knocks on, hey, I need a room somewhere. I don't care what you got. I don't care if it's with the cows and the horses and the goats. I need a place somewhere. And the man said, we don't have any room here, but there is a barn out back where all we keep the lambs. You say, I find it odd that Jesus was born in a feeding trough of animals. Why would you think that's odd? He's the bread of life that feeds the hungry soul. Why would you think it would be odd that Jesus, the Lamb of God, would be born where all the other lambs are? And Jesus Christ, Mary, is time. It is time. Joseph's waiting outside. He just can't handle it, you know. He probably passed out a couple of times. And listen, folks, for the first time, Mary gives birth to the one that spoke this world in existence. And when she heard the first cry of Jesus Christ, it was the same voice that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. She heard from the vocal cords the very one that created his own mom. She heard from the voice. She touched the hands that was going to heal blind Bartimaeus. She touched the very feet that were going to walk on the water one day. She washed the face of an almighty God. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what all she knew, but I bet you, just like all mothers, when they give birth and they wrap that baby up and they put them in their arms and the mom looks down there with tears in their eyes and say, that's my baby right there. That's my baby. I can just imagine as Mary gives birth, the same voice that spoke to Moses in the burning bush. And Moses says, what is your name? And the voice that comes out of the bush says, I am that I am. She just gave birth to the I am, the very I am that when they're going to arrest him in just a few short years, he says, I am. And all the soldiers fall down and fall backward. Why? Because he, my friend, is the God of the universe. she gave birth. And the angels outside formed them a little pulpit and said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." And all of a sudden there was a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." And Mary, with a smile on her face, says, "That's my baby right there." Those shepherds come in. They said, "We're looking for the one. We're looking for the one." They've told us about in the Old Testament. Mary, with a smile on her face, says, "Here he is right here. That's my baby." I can just imagine Mary giving him a bath. The Bible says, Luke 2:40, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, full of wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Joseph was a carpenter. I bet you Jesus raised up out there working to learn how to work on wood. I wonder if Jesus ever made him a little cross to show his dad or his earthly caretaker. He said, "Dad, what do you think about this?" His dad probably said, "Oh, son, you don't need to make that. That's where criminals hang. You don't need to make that. That's where murderers hang." I wonder what all went through their mind. I wonder, over there in Luke 2:41, they go to Jerusalem for the Passover, and they left to come home, and when they left to come home, they turned around, and Jesus was nowhere to be found. As a 12-year-old boy, they turn, and a 12-year-old boy is lost in the city with Passover going on. Mary turns around and says, "I'm going to jerk a knot in his head. Joseph, why wasn't you watching him?" I mean, you know, some of you men understand what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Some of you just still scared, but that's okay. I'm up here. Understand. Where did he go? They go back into the temple in Jerusalem, and they found Jesus behind the podium teaching the doctors and the lawyers as a 12-year-old boy. Mary and Joseph walks in the back door, and a big smile comes over Mary's face and says, "That's my boy right there." All the doctors and the lawyers are the upper crust. You say, "Who's the upper crust?" It's all the little crumbs held together with their own dough. You know, the upper crust. We know everything. And a 12-year-old boy is confounding them, and they're going scratching their head, and Mary's back there going, "That's my boy right there." And after service, Mary, the mother of Jesus, looks at Jesus and goes, "Where have you been? You run off." And Jesus says this, the first recorded words that Jesus ever spoke in the Bible, as far as the New Testament is concerned, in a fleshly body, the first things he ever said. Mary says, "Where you been? I'm fixing to jerk a knot in your head. You want me to whoop you?" I wonder if Mary ever put Jesus in timeout. I wonder if Mary ever went, 1, 2, 2.5. If you don't get here by the time I count to 3, I'm whooping you. 2 3/4. Why don't y'all quit? Y'all not going to whoop them. That's just a side note. And I wonder, and she goes, "Come here, young man." She probably pulls him by the ear, says, "Where have you been?" And this is what he says, "Woman, let me give you a little advice. If you're not the Son of God, do never call your mama woman." Look, I tried that one time, and my mama said, "You ain't the Son of God." She beat the living daylights out of me. This is what he said. He said, "Woman, I must be about my father's." And father is capital F, father's business, which proves Joseph wasn't his real father. His father was in heaven. And he said, woman, I must be about my father's business. That's the first thing. Listen, get this right here. That's the first thing he ever uttered, recorded in the Bible. You know what the last thing was? On the cross of Calvary, it is finished. What's finished? My father's business. My father's business has been finished on the cross of Calvary. Then the Bible is silent. The Bible goes silent for until he's 30 years old. And he's 30 years old and he walks down into the River Jordan where John the Baptist is baptizing people. And Jesus walks down into that water and Jesus says, I need to be baptized of you, John. And John says, oh no, I need to be baptized of you. And Jesus says, no, suffer me. You need to baptize me. And John baptizes the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And I'm sure Mary, with a smile on her face, says, that's my boy right there. That's my boy, the voice from heaven was referring to. I imagine when they leave there, someone says, Mary, are you going to so-and-so's wedding? Oh yeah, we're going to the wedding. And they go to this wedding. It's John chapter number 2. Guess what? They run out of grape juice. They run out of grape juice, and Mary says, Jesus. They run out of grape juice. You need to do something about it. Again, he says, woman. Kids, do not try that at home. He says, it's not my time yet. And so Mary, as all moms, she don't really listen too good. She goes, hey, my son's here. Y'all do whatever he tells you to do. That's my boy right there. You do everything he says do, you'll have some more grape juice. Jesus walks, turns 6 water pots into wine, grape juice, and the Bible. Mary, with a smile on her face, says, that's my boy, I told you. That's my boy. I knew he could do it. Just a few years later, they go to the grocery store. They hear all kind of rumors. Everybody's going up to Mary going, hey, so Mary, you're not going to believe what he did yesterday. Never a man spake like this man. Mary says, it doesn't surprise me at all. Somebody told her, said, he healed blind Bartimaeus yesterday. Mary says, that doesn't surprise me at all. I gave birth to him. I know what he can do. That's my baby. That's my boy. Some lepers, they were plagued with leprosy, was walking down the center aisle, and Mary says, son, stay away. You don't want what's on them lepers to get on you. Jesus probably said, mama, step aside. They don't want what I got. I'm going to put something on them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What they got ain't going to get on me. What I got's going to get on them. He bumped into them. Their leprosy was clean. And Mary said, that's my boy right there. You can imagine all of these different things. Feeding the 5,000. One day, somebody come up to Mary and says, are you going to the funeral today? You going to the funeral today? Mary says, yeah, I'm going to the funeral. I can't imagine what it would be like to lose a son. I know that lady. We've done some things together, and I know the lady, the widow there, and I just cannot imagine what you would go through if you lost a son. Yes, we're going to the funeral. They get there, and all of a sudden, the casket is leaving outside of the city. Death is going out. But Jesus and Mary, life is walking in. Well, let me get to the Pentecostal side over here. A casket's going out the city to bury. Life is walking into the city. And all Jesus did was bump into the casket. And the boy got up and said, hey, how y'all doing? I'm hungry. Where's the potato salad at? Hallelujah. Listen, folks, Jesus, all he had to do was bump into the casket, and Mary stands back and says, now that's my boy right there. All of a sudden, Mary starts to hear some rumors. there's some rumors going around town that somebody said her son is healing all these people in the name of the devil. She said, I don't understand that. They better not say that in front of me. That's my boy. Now, Mary, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to gossip or nothing, but you know. I mean, I heard it at Walmart. And I saw it on the internet. If it's on the internet, it's got to be true, Mary. I mean, that's what I'm just saying what I heard. I'm not trying to gossip. I'm just telling you more than what I heard. But I'm not trying to gossip or nothing. I'm just telling you, it ain't looking good. They're saying stuff about him. Mary, you need to come with me. They're up there at the Garden of Gethsemane, and there's some folks up there that's trying to arrest him. They said Judas was the head of the whole party. Walked up to Jesus, kissed him on the side of the face. Now, Mary, I don't know. They're not supposed to have a court session at this late at night. That's against the rules, but it looks like they're going to. You'd probably need to come. Mary, it looks bad. They've arrested your son. Mary, it looks bad. They're crying, crucify him, crucify him. Mary begins to cry with big crocodile tears coming out of her eyes and saying, why? That's my boy. That's my baby right there. He's never done anything wrong to anybody. I know I raised him. Mary, they're crucifying him. They're putting nails in his hands and his feet. Mary, I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. Please, don't kill my baby. They're standing at the cross, and Jesus looks down and says, John, this is your mama. See, it looks like Joseph must have died real early because Jesus gave his mother to his best friend, John. He wouldn't have done that if Joseph would have still been alive. And so it appears that Joseph has died at an early age and Mary is still living. And he gives his mother, Mary, to John. Said, John, you take her home, take care of her. And they hear Jesus utter from the cross, it is finished. And he took his last breath and hung his head. Mary began to cry. She watched a soldier, a dead body, up on the cross. She watched a soldier take a spear and run it through his side. Why did you have to do that for? He's already dead. They took him off the cross and they put him in the tomb. John takes Mary home with her, or with him, rather. No doubt many people are coming by, knocking on the door. Mary finally says, look, John, I don't want any more guests. I don't need to hear from anybody else. I've cried till I cannot cry anymore. I've lost my son. They've put him in the tomb. They've rolled a stone over. They've got guards over there where we can't even visit. John, I just don't want to see anybody. And all of a sudden, early Sunday morning. I said early Sunday morning. Real early Sunday morning. There was a knock at John's door. It was Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene's got excitement in her voice and says, listen, you're not going to believe that. I just come from the tomb and he's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Mary says, what? My baby? My baby's alive? Where? Mary says, I've seen him. I've talked to him. He called me Mary, and nobody's ever called me Mary like he called me Mary because my sheep know my voice. He's alive forevermore. The angel said, he's not here. He's risen just like he said. Hallelujah. Mary says, oh yes, that's my boy. That doesn't surprise me at all. I knew he would come up. Probably no doubt she said that. She goes down there. The last time we hear from Mary is in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse 13, I'll read it to you for time's sake. And when they were come in, they went in the upper room where abode Peter and James and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. The last time we see Mary mentioned is Acts chapter number 1. Wasn't too far before that, Jesus ascended. Two men in white apparel said, "Why stand you gazing here? This same Jesus will come back. It's in like manner, just as you've seen him go." I imagine Mary went out there every day where he left and said, "I wonder, when's he coming back? I wonder if this is the day the Lord's coming back. My son, my baby." Josephus, the Jewish historian, says this. Says Mary died in old age. She was an old lady. Gray-haired, probably. This is not in the Bible. This is what they say. I don't know. I don't know if it's true or not. But no doubt, Mary, when she took her last breath, probably laying on her deathbed. I've seen it happen many, many times. People get that far-off look in their eye. And it's like they all of a sudden see something that you, the rest of us can't see. It's like the supernatural becomes visible to them. I wonder if Mary looked and said, "Is that my baby? Son, is that you? It looks like there's some water there to cross. Help your mama. Help your mama across there." I bet you Jesus reached down, grabbed her by the hand. She took her last breath here. Her next one she took in the presence of an almighty God. For so many years, and I'm closing, for so many years, Mary held that baby in her arms. And now, he's holding her in his arms. One of these days, we'll step across Chile Jordan and step off onto the other side. And there Jesus will stand and be there waiting, help you across. Mothers, you say, why this sermon? Mary, the mother of Jesus, probably one of the greatest women in the Bible. You say, why? Not because we worship her, no. Not because we pray to her, no. Because the Bible says she was highly favored. She was given the honor and the privilege to raise the Lord Jesus Christ. Mamas, all you mamas, let me just have your attention. We're closing. What can God trust you with? Can God trust you to raise good, godly children? Can he trust you? He's given you those children. Can he trust you to raise those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Raise them up in a good Bible-believing church. Not where they're scared to say something. Not where they're scared to offend somebody. But raise them up in a church that don't mind speaking the truth and telling the truth. That's what we need. Our children can change this country, but it's going to take some mamas to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What can God trust us with? I thank the Lord for our mamas. But what can God trust you with? Heavenly Father.